Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Iron Men and Women of the American Drug-Free Powerlifting Federation. I'm Bill Sias, along with Mike Stagg. We are, respectively, the Vice President and President of the ADFPF. This is the official ADFPF podcast where you can get information about our organization, as well as information on strength and how to be a better powerlifter. Be sure you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ADFPF. You can check out everything you need to know on our website at ADFPF.net. Today we're going to discuss the issue of transgenders in powerlifting, but first we'd like to answer some qualification. So Mike, I'm going to ask the questions and you want to give us the answer. Before we started, Mike and I discussed the fact that we both have gotten all of these questions throughout the previous few weeks, but that's only an interesting side note. So here's my first question, Mike. You ready?
Sure am.
All right. Must a lifter open with the qualifiers at nationals or any other qualifying meet?
So the answer to that is no. It's only required that you open with at least the qualifying amount at the WDFPF event. So the questions have been specifically along the lines of, do we require that at our national meets? The answer is no. And must the lifter have opened with that amount for their lift to qualify? And the answer is no there as well. All you have to do to qualify is have lifted the qualifying amount in an ADFPF sanctioned meet. Now, when you get to the WDFPF meet, you will have to open with at least the qualifying amount. But that's the only place that that rule applies.
Excellent. All right, next question. Can a lifter qualify and then drop to a lower weight class?
So the answer to that is no, they cannot do that. You must qualify in the class, in the weight classification. You must lift in the class you qualified in. However, you can go up a weight class if you have qualified. So, for example, if you have a 100-kilo-pound lifter that lifted the qualifying amount for 110 kilos, and he decides that he would like to go up to the higher weight class, he can do that, provided the ADFPF approves of that. And the reason the ADFPF has to approve of that is because these the world events are, you have to apply to be on the team, and if we have already accepted the maximum number of entries in that case, we cannot displace an already accepted lifter.
Excellent. I'm going to interject another one here that I got a couple of times this week. It's not really a question. I'm just going to give the answer. The weight class you are in is determined, A, by how much you weigh, and the weight class you are in is a weight that is higher than what you weighed but above the previous weight class. So, for example, if you weighed in at 109 kilos, you are in the 110-kilo weight class. So everyone between 100 and 110 kilos is in the 110 kilo weight class. Had a couple of people confused about that just recently. So I'm just going to jump on that one. Can a lifter qualify?
To that, Bill,
yep.
I did want to add, just make sure people do understand this. You are not allowed to lift in a class that you are not weighed in at. So, for example, if I weigh in as a 75-kilo lifter but decide I want to lift in 82.5 kilos, but I weigh 74 kilos, I cannot do that. You have to lift in the class that you weighed in at. So what follows is once you've applied, you have to lift in that class as well when you get there. If I applied as an 82-kilo lifter, I have to come in between 75 kilos and 82 and a half kilos.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, next question. Can a lifter qualify and then drop to a lower weight class? Did we just do that one?
We did.
All right, next one. Can a lifter change their weight class on the day of the event? We kind of just answered that one as well.
Yeah, I believe we answered that one. But again, I want to emphasize that to no, because we have already accepted our entries into the event, and we cannot displace lifters at that point. So you need to lift if you notify us in advance to request it, the ADFPF can approve the change or we can deny it, but it needs to be done in advance. You cannot walk in the day of and expect that we're going to allow that to occur.
Exactly. All right. I think this is our last question. Can a lifter lift in squat in one weight class and bench in another?
So the answer is yes. The WDFPF single event worlds are contested on three different days, and as such are three different individual meets. So if, for example, a lifter wants to lift in one weight class in the squat event and then go ahead and go out and have a big dinner that evening and lift in the press in the higher weight class the next day, they can do that. The only thing we would say is your application form needs to reflect that you're going to do that.
Precisely. In addition, let me add that that's not going to happen at a local meet, because you can't weigh in at two different weights in the same weigh-in. That sounds confusing, but
that's correct.
I think it's reasonable.
The WDFPF event is on three different days and thus three different weigh-ins. So you will weigh in three times if you compete in each event.
Okay, that's the end of our listener questions tonight. So we're going to shift to our main topic, transgender lifters. This issue has taken on a higher sense of urgency given that a U.S. congressional representative has stepped into the controversy. Can you give us some background on the issue that made headlines this week, Mike?
Yeah, actually, we've heard the discussion, in hallways and such and powerlifting boards about what would ever happen if this occurred, and so it finally occurred. The surprise to me actually was that it was deemed important enough for a U.S. Representative to get involved with, but they did. The representative out of Minnesota, if I pronounce her name right, Representative Ilhan Omar, is actually called for an investigation into USA Powerlifting's decision to bar a transgender athlete from competing against women. So in this case, it's a transgender man that is going to compete against women. And the representative is questioning USA Powerlifting's stance that the transgender athlete has a competitive advantage. She even goes further to cite the Minnesota Human Rights Act that prohibits discrimination on the basis of gender identity. She has sent a letter to the USA Powerlifting director, Priscilla Ribbits, if I'm pronouncing her name right, basically questioning this and also questioning, she has actually stated that she does not believe that a transgender man has any advantage over a woman. Basically, she is questioning, she believes that it is a myth that a transgender has a direct competitive advantage, and that is not supported by medical science, and it's simply used to stoke fear and violence against at-risk communities. And that's essentially her quotation. She's gone further to write a letter, I believe, also to the attorney general in Minnesota asking that they investigate this. So definitely it is an issue that is serious, and one that I do believe needs to be addressed. Still, I question, you know, the involvement of the U.S. Congress in this. However, I do believe that it has brought this issue to the front of our powerlifting organizations, and it's created quite a bit of talk in the powerlifting community about this issue.
It certainly has. The WDFPF, well, I don't want to jump on where you're going next, but the WDFPF put together a policy that I think is very fair. Do you want to summarize that? I'm going to bring it up so we can directly address it if we need to.
Yeah, so let's talk about, and the policy that the WDFPF has, it was not in response to this issue. This was a policy that was actually in place prior to this issue coming to the forefront with USA Powerlifting. So I do want to clarify that this has been a policy that's been in effect for a time anyhow. So the first issue is any lifter, regardless of who you are or whatever, you have to produce identification at every meet. Now, sometimes lifters question, well, I don't recall having to give identification or this. Well, you have, whether you realize it or not, when you first did your membership. In a lot of cases, we actually know the lifters very well, so we know they are who they are. However, you must bring identification to that meet showing your gender. The identification must show your gender, and it actually needs to show your age as well. So every once in a while, and we do have done this on occasion, if you get a very mature 14-year-old, we may ask for proof of identification that he is truly 14 years old. In fact, I think I trained a young man that had to prove that. So right out of the gate, the lifter has to come with an ID that shows their gender. Okay. They are obligated to lift in the male or female category that matches their identification. So they're, you cannot come in with an identification that says you're male and say you want to lift as a female. If you're going to do that, your identification has to say you're a female. Okay, at that point, the lifter immediately goes into the same drug testing policy that every other lifter goes into. And what that means is, whether you're a transgender or any other athlete competing in our meet, you must be able to pass a WADA test. It's just that simple. If you cannot pass a WADA test, you're not allowed to come cases. We do have people who, for medical reasons or one reason or another, they have to take substances that would be otherwise banned in a normal lifter, but they're taking them for a specific health reason. A real easy example is insulin-dependent diabetics. Insulin is a banned substance unless you have a valid medical reason to have one and a TUE. So what a TUE is a therapeutic use exemption. And that is a process by which the athlete can contact the WADA lab, which here in the U.S. is USADA, and they have to do this prior to competing. They cannot do this after the fact. But prior to competition, you go through the process with USADA, and you get a therapeutic use exemption. At that point, because this is done in the medical community, it is a medical discussion. Really, the ADFPF is extremely limited in our knowledge of what the conversation would be or even what occurred. It complies with HIPAA laws and all of these other things, so all we know is whether or not USADA issued a TUE. So when and if we do a drug test on that individual, WADA has a record of that TUE, and that is taking into consideration in their results. So there is a process in place. What I would say is it's, just in practical terms, it's expensive for a lifter to go that route. Obtaining a TUE through USADA is an expensive process, and it also has to be done annually with USADA. And because of the HIPAA laws, again, there's truly nothing that the ADF-PF can do to help the lifter through that process. They have to bear the cost, and they have to go through that on their own due to the nature of medical privacy and HIPAA laws. I believe I captured everything there, Bill. With any questions or summary that I missed there?
No, I think you covered it well. I'm going to interject a couple of thoughts, however. A couple of years ago, because of some research I was doing for the ADFPF, I had a lot of conversations with USADA about TUEs. And when you say expensive, I'm going to tell you that it's thousands of dollars. It's an unbelievably expensive process. And I don't say that to discourage anyone, but said only to inform. It's also a very slow process. So if you're intending to do this, you need to begin it very soon. In fact, I would be surprised if you can complete the process this calendar year.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. Now that's the actual official way it's dealt with. What I also wanted to do, just as open discussion, we both have lots of conversations with people in the powerlifting community, and I think we get a decent flavor of the general mood of the majority of the lifters and how they feel about the issue. So I guess I'll start with you, Bill. Have you actually seen or had any in-depth conversation along these lines with lifters? And what do you feel is the general mood of what you're hearing from the membership?
Well, generally, I've had a number of these conversations, and the general feel is that females transitioning to male is not an issue for most people because they're seen as not going to be competitive. Now it's up to them to prove otherwise. And I've been reminded several times, it's the same reason that we require lifetime drug-free lifters. If you did steroids back in 10, 15 years ago, the residual result of the use of those steroids is still present in your body. The steroids are not, but the result is. And the same is true of having been initially male. A lot of additional strength is going to remain. The females that I've talked to with males transitioning to female is they just feel that it's generally unfair for exactly those reasons. I've had a few people that were very in favor of the way we look at it. If you're curious to take a closer look at it, if you go to the website adfpf.net, click the about, and let me get this exactly right. If you click about, scroll down in that tab to WDFPF, and then the second link on that is membership drug control, and the all of this discussion is laid out there very clearly. So that's been generally the way it's been presented to me. And you?
Well, so, I've had a few conversations, and, I have been following some of the powerlifting chat boards and just looking at the pros and cons of comments. And like any internet chat board, you've got to kind of you've got to filter out some of the comments that have extreme bias in them for one way or the other, and look at the comments where people are really thought out and they're laying out their reasoning. But what I would say is, from what I've seen, it's overwhelmingly against allowing a transgender, a man transgender to a woman and competing in a women's division. And exactly for the reasons you said, but the main opponents of this are ironically not really men, like you stated, it's the women. And the women that are powerlifters, they've got records out there that they're going for or setting, and they want to compete, in a fair way. And they do not believe that competing against a woman that has transitioned from a man is really on a fair and equal playing field. There's a lot of comments out there about there should be a special division set up and things like that. And obviously I don't have much of an opinion one way or the other there. My only main concern would be the same as it is with every competitor in our organization, that they have to be able to pass the rules as it relates to drug testing.
Agreed. Agreed. Our opinions are unimportant. And just to clarify, if you go to the drug control rule book, it is section 3.4, which is on page 14, or on page 18, excuse me. And all of it's detailed there. I currently have that. It's highlighted in light blue right now, as are all new changes every year. And all of this was done last year. So WDFPF was looking forward to this.
So one thing I also wanted to investigate, since we've got time here, and I know this is more of an opinion, Bill, but we've been around this sport a long time. We're a lot closer to these issues as it relates to athletics and weightlifting, I believe, than a representative from Minnesota, I would like to think. So what do you think about the comment that she makes in her statement that, she says, quote, and I'm reading, this is a direct quote from what she said, "The myth that trans women have a direct competitive advantage is not supported by medical science, and it continues to stoke fear and violence against one of the most at-risk communities in the world." So that's word for word what she stated. And what I really question there is saying that it's not supported by medical science. I believe that I would challenge that.
Yeah, I would too. I go back to my thoughts about steroid users, I think a good example would be, I'll not pronounce his last name right, but Matt Kroc, who has transgendered, is that the right way to say it, from male to female?
I think transitioned.
And transitioned from male to female, and now 3 or 4 years into this, he's still a very, very large person. Looks more female now, but he's still really, really big, and the results of training long and hard as a male with a full load of testosterone, and in his case, probably an extra load of testosterone. It's taken him years to reduce in size, and he's still a giant. He does not look female yet. And I'm guessing he can outlift certainly me.
Yeah, and we have certainly we've got medical professionals in our organization, and I can't tell you off the top of my head that there were studies done on transgenders, and none of it proves they have a competitive advantage. But what I would also say is I hear the same thing, to be honest, from a large number of people that take steroids. They will actually argue that taking steroids does not have any, it's never been medically proven that it has negative health consequences. And I've seen a lot of stuff that would be very contrary to that as well. But I guess kind of your thoughts, Bill, and I'll tell you mine real quick, that the part about this that concerns me the most is, powerlifting, we're a pretty small sport, and we have a relatively small community. A lot of us know each other, and I think for the most part, when we go to meet, you don't have politics involved. Everybody gets along. I couldn't tell you the whether people I lift, what their political leanings are one way or the other. I go, I lift, I enjoy the company. And the disappointing part to me in seeing all of this is that somehow the dysfunction that we're seeing in Washington right now is even finding its way into our small community of powerlifters.
Yeah, I tend to agree. As everyone's probably noticed, I don't express my political views on any of the social media outlets for a number of reasons, most of which have to do with the fact that I'm a business owner. But it amazes me that this has become a talking point for anyone. I mean, if we were to find all of the line up all of the competitive power lifters in the country, it's going to be a very tiny number of people compared to most other hobbies. And ultimately, this is just a hobby. You know, few of us make our living at it, but we don't make our living as a result of the lifting we do. It's in other areas, and it amazes me that this has become an issue at all. I have to admit, I really like the way that the WDFPF has chosen to address it, but I'm surprised that it's become a national issue.
Yeah, me too, Bill. I just look at the political environment right now, and I just feel like, you know, when I obviously I'm not from Minnesota, so it's not my representative, but I would be rather disappointed with all of the problems that I see that need to be addressed, that whether or not, you know, I powerlifting does not seem to me to be the venue where this should be raised. I mean, if somebody wants to raise the issue of transgender discussion, I believe there's ample opportunities in other areas where it affects a much, much larger percent of the population and actually has a larger impact on the day-to-day lives of most people. I'm just disappointed, even though USAPL is a competing organization to us, I just feel that they've kind of been unfairly targeted by somebody really trying to just make a political point. So, and I guess I'll just leave that at that.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there.
So I guess I don't have anything else, Bill. What I would encourage is, you know, because this is sort of a hot button issue in our society right now, I would actually welcome for people to listen to this podcast and comment where I'd be curious to know where our membership does stand. So as we discuss these issues in international forums and stuff, we do represent as best we can the majority view of our membership.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing that I would like to add is, you know, as you discuss this in social media centers, understand that disagreeing with another person is not a reason to be angry with them. Discussion can be civil and needs to be.
Well said, Bill.
I think we're done. Anything else to say, Mike?
I have nothing else. I would just encourage anybody that has questions for us on any topic, please send them to us, and we do our best to answer them. And if there's other topics you'd like to hear us discuss, please send those to us as well.
Excellent. Also, I guess I'm going to set a record here. I'm going to make one grumpy statement in two podcasts in a row. If you ask one of us a question, I promise you that the other one of us will give you the same answer. So there's no reason to ask the same question of both Mike and I. Either one of us will answer it correctly and well and in a timely manner. To ask both of us just takes extra time out of our volunteer schedules. So there's my grumpy statement for the night. I'm going to stop right there. You can listen to our show live every Sunday evening here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll post the link on Facebook and on our website so you'll be able to find us. The ADFPF has a weekly email update on our website. You can subscribe to that by scrolling down to the bottom of the event calendar page at adfpf.net/meet-calendar. We also like to encourage listeners to submit questions to us based on the current week's theme. We'll answer as many as we can at the end of the show. Send your questions to us on Facebook. Our Facebook page, again, is facebook.com/ADFPF. So until next week, I'm Bill Sias. Remember, the bar is loaded.
And I'm Mike Stagg. Stay strong.